Go to Psalms chapter 63, and I'll get there in just a minute. In our Wednesday night word studies, we have spent, the last 6 weeks or so, I think it's been about 6 weeks, looking at the subject of worship. And I started off the series talking to you about personal worship. And I think we talked about private worship in a public place and how that's something that is, something that we personally enter into with the Lord. And of course, then other of our worship leaders have shared with you from their biblical perspective. Tonight, I want to continue on that line of teaching or of thought and just more or less connect the dots. I want to come at it from maybe two perspectives. And our hope is when we finish this series, which this will quite possibly be the last of my sharing on this, but that we will have refocused on something that is an essential to the life or to the Christian walk of the believer. It is just absolutely something that is a part of our being. Worship is to be a part of our Christianity, our Christ walk. Amen. So I want to approach it from two different perspectives, and the first one in the context of kind of a broad overall spectrum on the subject of worship, a big view here, and just hit a couple of principles. Worshiping the Lord was never intended to be mysterious. It was never intended to be just a high church. Organ has to play just right, and the candles have to be just so. I'm not saying anything wrong with candles and an organ, but it was never intended to be mystical or mysterious. It's very spiritual, and it's not. It was never intended to be something difficult for the average believer to engage in. Praise the Lord. One of the first points that I would just want to make tonight is that worship is not one of the suggestions of the scriptures. It isn't that. And so as believers and growing in the faith, that we receive it as it is. It is a command. We are commanded to worship. But now, and I'm going to talk to you about that and see how we make that. Because most people don't like commands, do you? You don't like to be commanded to do nothing. I know you don't. It's okay to say that's right, Pastor. I don't like people telling me what to do. All right? That's just, but it is a command. It is a command. Amen. In fact, it is an exercise or an expression of the great commandment, the first commandment. You remember Jesus said in Mark chapter 12 and also I think it's in the book of Matthew, but Jesus in response to, tell me what's the commandment? How do I please God? And he said there in Mark chapter 12, he said, thou shalt love the Lord your God, love, agapeo, a verb, an action word. You will love the Lord your God, and he listed four things. You'll love him with all your heart, that's your inner man, with all your soul, your emotional, even your emotion, the emotional realm, and that, the will, I will to do so. You will love him that way. You will love him with your mind. He specifically bears out the mind as a distinction in the area of the soul, but in that intellectual way, you will love him there, and you will love him with all of your strength, having to do with the whole physical, our physical world. So he says, that's the first commandment. So the commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord. Amen. Well, we know that love is true, genuine love is not passive, right? It's not passive, but it's an action. It's an action word. W. Vines has in its writing on love says that love can be known only from the action it prompts. I know I've told you this before, but it's good to repeat. Love can be known only from the action that it prompts. Amen. So love has to be expressed in order to be genuine. Love has to be expressed in order to be genuine. How does a man then express his love for God? That's a very sensible question. How do we do it? So I would answer that a man expresses his love for God in his worship, in the context of his worship. I so connect with something that I heard Pastor Robert Morris, who's a pastor of Gateway Church up in Dallas area. But he said a couple of years ago, and it just connected me, it was an answer to the question. So when I asked him the question, what is, or maybe it was in a message, he asked the question, what is worship? What is worship? And his response was that worship is love expressed. Everybody say love expressed. Say with me, worship is love expressed. Amen. Worship is my love for God expressed. Amen. So it's simply love expressed. Now, take that to its fullness. That means that there are thousands of ways that I can worship God. Amen. We normally think, we say worship, we would think, well, in our time, in our knees, in our prayer closet privately, or maybe in church, you know, and of course, those are the ways. But if worship is my love expressed to God, then there are thousands of ways that I can be a worshiper of God. Every deed that I do to express my love for God is, in God's eyes, worship. I'm worshiping him. Every deed I do, every service that I give to the Lord, or give to the kingdom of God, or serving mankind, praise the Lord, on his behalf, I'm being a worshiper to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every word that I say that gives him glory, every time I show reverence to him, or I honor him, or I obey him, or I give him praise or devotion, prayers, my prayers are worship to the Lord, my singing is worship to the Lord, my giving, we just did something a while ago that was actually worship to the Lord. We were expressing our love for God. So worship is love expressed. And this helps us, you know, whether you're the youngest believer in the service tonight or the one who's been walking in the faith for, you know, 50 years, but it all helps us to see how that he or she can be a devoted worshiper of God. There are thousands of ways we can find every single day that we can be a worshiper of God. Everybody say it with me again. Worship is love expressed. Praise the Lord. In fact, every time I do something, you know, when you, for those of you who are serving in the church, just know it, man. When you come and you teach a class, you're worshiping the Lord. When you come and you punch the buttons on that board, that's worship. You see, it has nothing to do with worship. It is, because it's love expressed for the kingdom of God, for God and His kingdom. You know, when you come and you run a vacuum cleaner, that's worship. Oh, somebody, come on. That's worshiping the Lord. And it's a deep kind of worship, because you're expressing something that is drawing energy out of you. It's taking, you're exchanging some of your life for that. You teach the children. You drive the bus. You teach a deal, whatever. You pray for somebody. You sing a song. Anything. All those kinds of things are service. And then love expressed outside the confines of the church. It all has to do with worship. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 kind of puts it in perspective there, where the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I appeal to you, brethren. He said, by the mercies of God, by the mercies, because of the great mercy of God, I'm doing this because of the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. What is it? An offering. Present yourselves an offering. Holy. Well, I don't have to go there. Holy, acceptable, or pleasing to the Lord, which is, Revised Standard says, which is your spiritual worship. King James, that says your reasonable service, your spiritual worship. Can I have an amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, thousands of ways to do it. Now, go to me. You have Psalm 63. You thought I forgot it, but I didn't. Praise the Lord. We're commanded. Here we are now. The concept, we're commanded to worship the Lord, to love him, and to present ourselves in homage or in sacrifice or in service to him. But as I said a while ago, no one really responds very well to being commanded. And I know God knows that, or forced to love somebody. You know, if I came up to you and I said, Ivy, I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, I mean, the most meanest person that's ever been to you, and I've tried to force you, you're going to love that person. You're going to say, well, Pastor, I love you, but I'm going to have to get victory over this. But as I don't want, you know, in fact, you may just say, well, that pastor's off his nut. I think I might go find me one that's got half good sense. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, we don't want that. So, but what's the difference here? What's the difference here? God tells us to do so, and we end up doing it. I haven't seen any of you rebelling against it. Amen. You know, we come to the Lord, and we know we have a need. We ask him to save us and to give us a new heart, and he does so, and he gives us. And then all of a sudden, we begin to find ourselves wanting to serve him. Isn't that amazing? We find ourselves wanting, longing, desiring to worship in any way we can. Well, it can't be some emotional thing. So this is a scripture that I believe helps us to see how one man describes this. One man, in fact, it's King David here. He is compelled to be a worshiper of the Lord. Why is he compelled? Let's read the scripture. It is very insightful, and it helps us understand ourselves. Beginning in verse 3, it begins with the word because. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus, or for this, I will bless you while I live. I'll lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Hallelujah. Let's go back and let's take those scriptures, those verses one at a time. Verse 3, because. Why did David honor the Lord and reverence the Lord and serve the Lord? Why did he praise the Lord and obey the Lord? I mean, on and on and on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Because, he says, the reason, inasmuch as seeing that your loving kindness is better than life. I mean, I'm just here to just encourage you. Just to begin to look at the loving kindness of the Lord on your life to move you, motivate you to want to obey the commandment, to express your love through worship, your service to the Lord, because your loving kindness is better than life. Loving kindness is a Hebrew word. It's spelled C-H-E-C-E-D, I think, but it's pronounced, I hope I have it right. They put a K on it when you pronounce it. It's chesed, or I've heard some people pronounce it hesed. But Strong's Concordance brings out several things. It means kindness. Okay, we're talking about God's loving kindness. It is the word kindness, his mercy, his pity, his favor, God's favor, God's goodness. Brown's Dictionary says it brings out the word faithfulness. W. Vines adds the word steadfastness and love and grace. All those things are confined within the loving kindness of the Lord. Let me read you one little paragraph of the writing of W. Vines having to do with loving kindness. He says, in general, one may identify three basic meanings of the word, which always interact. They're working together all the time. The three words are strength, steadfastness, and love. I'm going to say it again. Strength, having to do with the power of God. Steadfastness, having to be, he's steady and he's faithful. And love, agape, love. He's decided to express his goodwill to you and I without regard to our worthiness. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Those three words, strength, praise the Lord, God's loving kindness, because his loving kindness is better than life, the power of God, his faithfulness and his love. He goes on and says, is any understanding of the word that fails to suggest all three inevitably loses some of its richness. So David writes, he says, I love and I serve, I'm a worshiper, because your loving kindness is better than life. Not putting it in my words, your loving kindness is better than anything in this life. How many of you know that? Hallelujah. That the loving kindness of the Lord, I mean, if you just walk with God just a little while, you realize that the loving kindness of the Lord, the goodness, the mercy, you know, his power and faithfulness to you, is better than anything this life has to offer. Don't tell me how good it was back when you were sinning. Well, you know, it was so good. No, no, no. Listen, where you are today, if you're serving the Lord, is better than you've ever had it. Well, I'm having some trouble, but you got a God that'll deliver you. Back then, you had nobody. The devil just want to stomp you harder when you get down. But the Lord's here with you. His loving kindness is better than all that this life could offer. Then he says, my lips shall praise thee. Lips actually is a word for language or my words. It doesn't just mean, you know, the little fleshy things you got there, but my language, the language of my mouth, the language of my mouth is going to be praise. Shabbat. It's going to be boasting and exalting and giving God the glory and the praise that he deserves and that will honor him. So David says, I'm a worshiper. My soul craves to worship God because of his hesed. And that word, we could really take a whole session on. I mean, it has to do with covenant, the covenant that God makes with a man, and using his strength and his steadfastness, his reliability, his faithfulness, mixed with his love to take care of you. Praise the Lord. And so he's really talking about this covenant that God has to take care of man. He says, man, it's better than life. Verse 4, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. I will bless you. So the word is Barak. Interesting word. It means to kneel. It means many other things. Or to worship, to kneel, to submit yourself. It's a word leading us into a submitted type of life, worshiping the Lord in a submitted type of way. He says, I will submit myself to you as long as I live. Hallelujah. No changing. I'm going to lift up my hands in your name. I'll lift up my hands in your name, which has two connotations. First of all, it has the connotation of praise and worship as we praise God, and surrender. It's the sign of, you know, surrender, get your hands up. But it also has to do with the doing of life. I'm going to lift up my hands, the doing of life. It's going to be in your name. Everything, it's a New Testament principle also. You know, the Apostle Paul told us that in all that we do, in word and deed, we're to do it to the glory of God, and we do it in the name of the Lord. I'm going to lift up my hands in your name. Verse 5, my soul, in my worship, my soul will be satisfied. All the desires of my heart are going to be satisfied. And then he uses a little illustration, as with marrow and fatness. Marrow and fatness. What does that mean? Well, they understood it. It's like the richest, most delicious food you could ever eat. You know that stuff that you're not supposed to eat? You know what I'm talking about? That big old juicy steak, you know, that, oh, glory to God. That egg custard pie, glory to God, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be satisfied in my worship, be more than the eating like a king. You know how happy you are when you sit down and you stuff yourself with that turkey dinner. You know what I'm saying? You know, I ate too much. I hurt all over. But it sure was good while you were doing it, right? Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. Your soul is going to be satisfied. Oh, praise the Lord. Being a worshiper of God satisfies you more than anything in this world. And it doesn't hurt near as bad after you finish. Hallelujah. And then he says, in my mouth will praise you with joyful my lips. My mouth shall halal. I'm going to celebrate. We'll rave about you with joyful lips, with the shouts of joy, singing, glory, cheerful, exuberant, merciful language. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now this is how one man, the description of one man's response is to the command of loving the Lord with all of his heart, mind, soul. That's pretty good, isn't it? It does sound like he begrudges it at all. Sounds like it's a pretty good thing. He's just simply, and when it comes to that thing of being a worshiper, commanded to love the Lord your God, and expressing our love through worship, he simply considers the loving kindness, and he realizes and admits it's better than life, any better than anything that this life can offer. Amen? All right, so now we looked at worship in that context of this kind of the broad spectrum of God's expectation, his command to love him, but then how that turns to a delight. So now what I'll do is just take the rest of my time and narrow the view down kind of more on a personal level. And you know, as I said a while ago, we know that I can worship God in thousands of ways, deeds, service, honor, giving, all those things. But I dare say, with almost without exception, let's just take us tonight, this group tonight, almost without exception, one of the desires of our heart is to somehow personally touch God's presence in our worship. Am I right? Would you say that's you? That's a desire of our heart, is to somehow touch his presence. And not just know that we're doing it and we know that we've got this, you know, the great good, but to touch his presence. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, how do we do that? Is it something that we just sometimes are able to slide into? Is it something that's just by chance? Is getting into a place of the manifested presence of the Lord, is it an accident? Is it just reserved for some people? Is it totally a sovereign thing where it's just God, you know, it's just God decides, or, and we don't have it? Is it that way? Or is there any spiritual roadmap, any scriptural roadmap that we can follow to help us get into the presence of the Lord through the medium of our worship? And I would say that there is. And I think Mel might have referred to the scripture in one of her teachings, one of the nights that she did. But Psalms 100 is such a scripture. And it's why it's such a beautiful scripture to us. Believers just love Psalms 100. We all do. Most of you could even quote Psalms 100. And sometimes we don't realize what we're quoting when we do it. But it is such a scripture. It's a roadmap into the presence of the Lord. In fact, it's considered, Psalms 100 is considered by a lot of people who are a lot smarter than I am. They are scholars of the scriptures, but it's considered to be an overview of the different psalms of ascension, which is Psalms, 120 through 134. Those psalms that they either sang or they recited, or, you know, as the people would go up at least three times a year, they were told to go up to the festivals, to the holy days in Jerusalem, into the presence of the Lord, to the temple. Okay, so they would sing these psalms, and many people feel like from you know, reading those psalms, that this is an overview of the people's worship as they were going up to the presence of the Lord. Now, whether or not, you know, it's actually that or written that way, it doesn't really matter, because for us, though, it gives us a divine pattern that we can go by, we can look, and we can learn. So have you found it, Psalms 100? Let's just read. I'm just going to read the verse, the five verses here, and it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. We say just throughout all eternity. Now, there's a divine roadmap here, and on the journey into this place of the presence of the Lord, it starts with an admonition that out of that first verse it says, "Make a joyful." King James says, "Noise." New King James says, "Shout." Make a joyful shout unto the Lord. Well, that's a good place to start. Amen. That's a real good place to start. A joyful shout. Praise the Lord. That's noise or a lot of energy and energetic. You know, like letting the Lord know, I'm coming for you. Amen. I'm really interested in this. This is something I'm really like a joyful shout. You say, oh, well, Pastor, I don't know if I could. I don't feel like that today. I don't want to do that. Or sometimes we think, well, you know, I'd be embarrassed. I can't do that. That's just not like me. Well, it's our exhortation, though. Praise the Lord. I think about it this way. We don't want to be like Naaman. I don't want the spirit of Naaman, do you? Man, I tell you, here's a guy who wanted healing really bad. In fact, he was wanting it so bad that he took the word of a little chambermaid, a little servant. He took the word of the servant and went all the way to another country and because she said, there's a prophet in the land that if you go over there, he's connected to God. He can get you well. Okay, so he does it. He goes all the way over there and he goes in there, but he didn't like what the prophet said. He didn't like the way that he had to get it. So, he didn't want to do that. The prophet said, go dip in the Jordan. He didn't want to go dip in the Jordan. He wanted to do it a different way. All I'm saying is many times the Lord will instruct us to do something that we really want with all of our heart. But we don't necessarily want to do what He says in order to get it, you know? And the interesting thing is that Naaman did not get his healing until he went and dipped into Jordan. He did the word that the prophet said, the word of the Lord came to him. Well, the word of the Lord comes to us. I mean, it just starts out with a shout. That's a good place to start. Praise the Lord. God tells you to do it. It'd be all right. Find you a little place or something. Or if everybody else is shouting, that's good. Just go for it. You know, just get rid of your inhibitions and that. So it starts out with this loud noise. Now, notice it says, serve Him with gladness. Serve Him. Serve Him. Minister to Him. Minister to the Lord. Work for the Lord in our labor. Serve Him with gladness. With gladness. With joy. Rejoicing. The word has this connotation of being very willing. Being very willing. Pleased. Pleased. And glad to serve the Lord. That's the attitude, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Be very glad to serve the Lord. Amen. Our conduct, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure to serve you, Lord. Well, it's our pleasure. It's my pleasure to do such and such that blesses you. It's my pleasure. You know, how many of you have been to Chick-fil-A lately? Anybody around here? Do y'all ever go to Chick-fil-A? Anybody go? You go to Chick-fil-A, and it's just the most amazing thing. Here you got little teenagers. And you ask them to do something, and they say, it's my pleasure. I can remember, the feeling I had about the first time I went to a Chick-fil-A, and I asked them, and some little teenager said to me, my pleasure. I like fell out on the floor. My pleasure. My pleasure. You got to be kidding. Most time you go to a hamburger place or a chicken place, and if you get the order, they may look at you and say yes, or grunt, or something. You get, but you don't get very many. pleasure. Well, I know that's just an illustration. However, it demonstrates for us a little bit of the attitude, serve the Lord with gladness. Praise the Lord. Don't serve him with, oh my God, I got to go do that again. Okay, let me move on. Now it says, serve with that. We're on our road now. We're on the journey to the Lord. It says, sing or come with singing. Come before his presence. Before his presence with singing. God likes singing. Amen. God likes your singing. God likes your good notes and your bad notes. On key and off key. Hallelujah. Your harmony and your not so harmony. Amen. So he says, come singing. Come sing songs that give God pleasure, credit, gives him the honor. Amen. And now, these two verses give us something about how our code of conduct to come to the Lord, kind of like the protocol. Make it joyful. Let the Lord know. I like this. I'm coming after you, Lord. A joyful noise to the Lord. Everybody, not all your lands, not just a few people, serve him with gladness. Man, Lord, it's just my pleasure to serve you. I'm coming to you with singing. Then we move on to the next verse in verse 3. We get something else. It says, know the Lord is that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The first two verses kind of deal with our conduct, our code of conduct, or kind of a protocol of coming to the Lord. The second deals with verse 3 deals with an attitude, our attitude. Now watch this. What does he tell us? He tells us four things. He says, the first thing is, you know he's God. You have this knowing. This is in you. God, he is God. There is no other God. I don't have any other gods. He is God. He's the only God. He's the true and living God. He's the one who's perfect. He's the one who's self-existent. He's the one who's self-sufficient. He's the God of all things and all things to me. He is my God. Know that he's God. Secondly, he created us. He created us. That we're not self-made. We're not self-made men. Amen. We're not on even, you know, on a level to be able to authentically dishonor the Lord and his unfathomable wisdom in any way. Number three is that we belong to him. He's God. He created us. We belong to him. We're not our own. You're not your own. God has the right to rule your hearts. He has the right to expect your service with gladness. Amen. And the fourth thing is we're like sheep in his pasture. We're like sheep in his pasture. Amen. What is he saying? That all of our, we don't own the pasture. All of our provision comes from the Lord. We get to eat in his pasture. Hallelujah. He gets to take care of us. All of our provision comes, and without him, we have nothing. All we have is the sweat of our brow. Without the Lord, that's all we have. Amen. Now, so we have this protocol, our conduct. We've got our state of mind, which is our attitude. Now we're in verse 4, and it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Notice two places that are mentioned very specifically, and I'm hurrying now. I have 10 minutes to finish this. Two distinct places are things that we're to do to enter into two distinct places. And the first is his gates. There's two. One is the gates, and the second is the courts. Gates and courts. Everybody say gates and courts. How do we do that? With thanksgiving and praise. Gates, courts, thanksgiving, praise. Four words, okay? So here we got the gates. What is the gates? The gates refer to the opening, the door into it. Now, up until this time, we haven't got into his presence. We're just living the conduct of life, got the right attitude. Praise the Lord. We're on our way, on the journey. Hallelujah. Living for Jesus, loving God. Hallelujah. Though we got this desire, we want to go into his presence. We want to go to the holy place, the holy of holies. That's where we really want to get. We got this desire. We want to get through the medium of worship. We want to get into his presence. So here we are. now we got the gates. This is the opening. How do we do that? Well, it tells us that the key to that, to open the door, is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving relates to the things or deeds, things that are done. We give thanks for things that are done. We give thanks for things that happen. We give thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for us, the things, you know, and we recount those things. Oh, God, thank you. Man, thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the things you've done. And we begin to remember those things and recall them. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you, Lord, that you fill me with your spirit. I mean, there's all kinds of, just tons of things. And, you know, just get to thanking the Lord. And, you know, thank you, Lord, that you delivered me. Thank you, Lord, you set me free from that habit I had. Lord Jesus, that you've helped change my mind. I was so squirreled up, messed up. Thank you, Lord, you delivered me from that addiction. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for my family, the people that you put in. Just all kinds of things we're talking about. We enter to the gates with thanksgiving. And there's a million things. I mean, you can just get caught up right there. We give thanks as we move toward God. We're moving toward him. Praise the Lord. Thanksgiving, todah, which means the lifting of the hands in humility, surrender, blessing the Lord. We do it all kinds of ways. We may do it, get our body involved, clap. We may bow. We may dance. We may shout. We may sing. All these kinds of ways we're entering into the gates. Now, the second place is the courts, and we do that through praise. Courts. It's inside the court. Yard into the place of residence, the place where the Lord is, the enclosure of the Lord. We're going to that place where God in the Spirit, it's not that he's not everywhere, but he doesn't manifest himself to us all the time. And we do that with praise. It's the word tehillah, halals. Hallelujahs, praise the Lord, celebrating the Lord. Now, our focus now is not on deeds. Our focus is not on thanking him for deeds done, but our focus now is on his character. So who he is. You know, we thank the Lord all the time for all these good things he's done. Then we get into the Lord, we just, oh, thank you, Father, for your ways and for your virtues. And do you ever just start going through the names of God and the character of the Lord? And there's so many in the scriptures. You know, we think of them basically the main nine. But then, I mean, there's just so many things that the Lord has said. And like David said, he says, I just start dwelling on the loving kindness of God. It's better than life. Amen. But so here we are. We're focusing now on his attributes, his character. Now notice what's happened. You move from thanking him from deeds over into, which have to do with things of the past, over into the now, who he is. Praise the Lord, which prepares you from over and over into an expectation of what God's got for you for the future. Hallelujah. Because he's got good things for you. So we've got our protocol, we've got our attitude. Amen. We have gone through, I guess, Old Testament picture, outer court. We've entered into the inner court, and we got in there with thanksgiving and our praise now, and we can sense in that area you can sense the closeness of God. How many of you like that? Oh, I love it. You can begin to sense the closeness of God. Things around you are getting dimmer. You know, sometimes they're still, but they're getting dimmer. But it just feels, it's good. It's so wonderful. It's awesome. But that's still not the ultimate. It's not the ultimate. It's good for us to get to that place. Praise the Lord. But our ultimate desire is to get in. I don't have time to do the picture, but into that, the Holy of Holies. And the more that we can get our focus and our sight off of the distractions of all the things that are around us and that are going on, and we can begin to just see the Lord in the Holy Spirit. And the more that we can do that, then the more that veil that lets us into the Holy of Holies where he manifests himself to us, the more that we're able to begin to experience God in that dimension. That's the ultimate goal of the worshiper. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We don't always get there. Well, maybe you do. I don't. I don't always get there. I mean, it's wonderful getting into his courts. Praise the Lord. Singing, dancing, shouting, and just... But there's those times when we truly shut out everybody else and everything else, and he lets us see him. Can I have an amen? Those are wonderful times. It's electric, praise the Lord, when God reveals himself. And that's the place, many times in his presence where you're not even really aware of what's going on in you, that God does wonderful things. Sometimes he heals. He heals us. He reveals himself. He reveals insight. He gives us knowledge. Praise the Lord. Energy, focus, vision, a sense of purpose. Amen. It's wonderful things. But here's my point. We didn't get there just by chance. It wasn't just by the sovereignty of God. God can manifest himself anytime he wants to. He did to Moses. However, that was a whole different situation. Moses wasn't looking for God. As a worshiper, we are. We're wanting to experience him in a greater dimension. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a road to travel to be able to come into those places with the Lord. Amen. True worship. And it starts, and I think Psalms 100 is a wonderful way for you to look at it. It's not the only way. Of course, the target is for all of us to enter into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know, so we have been now over a month talking about worship because we desire to know God better, don't we? Praise the Lord. We desire to live closer to him. And I pray that through this series, through something that has been said, the scripture has been said, one of the teachers or all of the teachers has in some way helped you to be able to reach that desire. Amen. Praise God. Let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And I'm so thankful, oh God, that at all times we can pray, we can talk to you, and you hear us. There's different levels and degrees, and there's different depths, oh Lord, of us being able to get close to you and sense your presence. And Lord, even as I'm preaching or praying right now, talking to you, I know that you hear me, and I know that you take note. But now, Lord, we've been studying how to get even more intimate with you. Father, I thank you that you will take the scriptures, the word, the examples, the illustrations that have been given over these last 6 weeks, and that you will plant them deeply within our hearts, and that we'll be able to draw off them. For our great desire, O God, is to know you better, is to live closer to you at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, our prayer leaders are going to be coming, and they'll be around the front. If you need prayer tonight, then just make your way down and let them agree with you. That's a whole different way of touching God. Amen? Hallelujah. But come on down and let them minister to you, okay? Love you guys. See you on Sunday morning. We'll just be sharing the word with you about something God's saying to us, all right? I'm not going to tell you what it is. All right? Be blessed. Good night.